Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Thank you. Very sweet indeed. Lovely song. Beautifully sung. Thank you. And these are all members of our church community who are singing this. It's amazing, isn't it? Quality we have in this lovely community of ours. We're talking about affirmative prayer. The way that we pray in Unity started right at the beginning in the healing of Myrtle Fillmore when she affirmed that I am a child of God and therefore I do not inherit sickness. I am a beautiful child of God, and it's continued now for 125 years. In fact, we're celebrating the 125th anniversary this year of Silent Unity, which is Unity's prayer ministry, which is the core of everything we do in Unity. And what makes affirmative prayer so different from regular prayer is regular prayer tends to beseech or beg or flatter a God that is out there somewhere, whereas in Unity, we're not trying to beg or flatter or do anything to God out there. We are simply aligning ourselves with God in here, right? Because if you're going to have a personal relationship with the divine, you can only find it within your own heart and being, right? And if you're familiar with sign language, what is the sign for God? This is the sign for God. And it really fits in well with Unity's prayer, with affirmative prayer, because what we're doing is simply aligning ourselves with this vertical response. We're responding vertically to God's presence, right? And when we're aligned in that way, then we are one with God. That is the simplicity of affirmative prayer. Affirmative prayer, says Charles Fillmore, it is the yes action of the mind, right? It is saying yes. When you affirm something to be true, what are you saying? Yes. See, the first thing God did at the beginning of Genesis was say, let there be light, and there was light, right? He affirmed. The first thing that we see in the first chapter of Genesis is an affirmation, let there be light, and there was light. Now, immediately after that, what did God say? Yes! He said, this is good. And I love that, you know, because God is constantly saying yes to the universe. If God decided not to say yes, then what would happen to the universe? Fut. It would go. It would disappear. God is both creating and sustaining the universe at every moment because it is that affirmative impulse. So when you've succeeded in something, when your team wins, what do you naturally want to do? You want to say yes. Because you're affirming something good, something expansive in our lives, right? It's life-affirming to say yes, to have that affirmation principle going on. And it's linked with the I am, because to be the being quality of God states through the I am. In fact, that's the name that they gave to God in the Old Testament. That's the name that Jesus referred to when he talked about the Christ or the truth within him, the God within him, I am. And so it's powerful to begin affirmations with I am also, because we're linking ourselves to the affirmative impulse, the allness, the power, and the presence of God. And there's nothing more powerful than that, right? It's awesome. In the East, they have a word that's very similar to this yes, this affirmative impulse. What is that word? Om. Om, right? That is the primal sound, the primal creative statement. And often we spell om how? O-M. But another way of writing it is A-U-M, because it refers to the A is the opening, the U is the sustaining, and the M is the dissolving. So it's all parts of the creative process. Creating, preserving, and dissolving. Everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end, doesn't it? If you're going to write a book, did somebody tell you that? If you're going to write a book, it has to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Well, life is like that. It has a beginning, middle, and end. Here's the thing, though. The Buddhists say it's good in the beginning, it's good in the middle, and it's good at the end, because life is all in divine order, and everything that seems to pass away, it passes away so that something new can come, right? My end is my beginning, and so the circle continues, the beautiful flow of the universe, the affirmative impulse through all that. Now, we don't have om in the West, but we are taking it on board more and more. But we have another phrase, another word that's powerful. What is it? Amen. It means the same thing, right? It's the same affirmative impulse. When you say amen at the end of a statement, what are you saying? Yes, so be it. So it is done. It is established. So it's the same idea. And really, it's made up of the same basic sounds as the om. So when you're affirming om or saying amen, you are saying yes. It's going to happen. It is already established. It's not in the future. It is already here. Because that's the thing about affirmation and affirmative prayer, right? We're not talking about the future, right? One day I will be a beautiful child of God. But not today. I'm a miserable worm of the dust. You know, that's not going to get you anywhere, is it? No, today I am a beautiful child of God. I've got my humanness. Yes, yeah, sure I do. But I am aligning. See, there's that vertical response again. I'm aligning the divine in me with the human in me, so they're one. Isn't that why Jesus could boldly say, the Father and I are one? His divinity and his humanness were so aligned, they became one and gave him power to do amazing things because of that. I love this idea of good in the beginning, good in the middle, and good in the end. Because as Wendy said, we determine how life is going to show up for us. We're not dependent on what's happening out there. It's all in our response to what is happening out there. So if I determine on any given day, this is going to be a good day at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end, then there's a greater chance it is going to be that way than, oh God, I know it's going to suck. Well, don't complain when it does, okay? All right, before we go on, you see these mock-ups here. Which one do you like better? Straw poll, that one or that one? You like both of them? The bigger one, okay, the bigger one. That's 80 inches, that's 75 inches, okay? We put both of them up there to see if we liked, if 75 inches was good enough. But now we've seen the 80 inch, you know. How can you keep them back on the farm now that they've seen Perry, you know? Now we've seen the 80 inches, forget about that one. Unfortunately, that one is a little more expensive. But we're moving forward. I think we have almost 80% of what we need to secure these. And we're buying, installing a Wi-Fi system as well. So I think we're going to go with the bigger one simply because it'll serve us better over the longer period. So we affirm that the rest of the money is flowing. And as Wendy said, if you want to underwrite it, just write it on the byline of your check. That's for that purpose. Thank you. Eric Butterworth, I love Eric Butterworth, great Unity minister, author, wrote two great books that I think are the best books ever written in Unity. And the first one is called Discover the Power Within You, and it's all about Unity's interpretation of Jesus' teachings. And then he wrote another one called Spiritual Economics, which lays out the spiritual underpinnings of prosperity and living the abundant life in the Unity perspective. Wonderful book. But in the first book, he had a chapter on prayer. And he says this about prayer, and I love the way he phrases it, because he says this: prayer is not something we do to God, but to ourselves. See, so often in the begging and beseeching and flattering of God, we're focusing on some entity somewhere out there, and we're trying to get his attention, aren't we? We're trying to, you know, he's busy, isn't he? I mean, he's got more better things to do than to mess with me on any given day. So my prayers are, I know he's probably not going to answer me, but if you could just, well, you know, that kind of prayer is not very effective. So it's not about something we're doing to God. By the way, God already has our attention. God is already fully invested with us, yes? As Jesus said, God knows how many hairs you have on your head. It took a long time to count Irene's hair, but God got there and knows how many hairs there are on her head. No, the point being that God is intimately related to us, so we don't have to beseech or beg or ask too much. God already knows because God is us, right? The energy of the divine is flowing through us. So it's really not about us changing God, but ourselves, aligning ourselves with the all possibility of God. It is not a position, but a disposition. I like that. Doesn't matter whether you're praying on your knees or whatever. It's not about the position you're in. It's your disposition. Am I open and receptive to God at this time? Yeah. It is not flattery, but a sense of oneness. I'm not trying to beg God or please him. Oh, your magnificence, please help me right now. You are so magnificent. Oh, my God, you're wonderful. You know, I don't think God's impressed. God doesn't need all that. God wants us to remember that he and she is deeply involved with us, deep in our hearts, yes? Sense of oneness. It is not asking, but knowing. That's interesting because Jesus invites us to ask, but sometimes that's all we do. We're asking constantly instead of being willing to receive. You know, we just don't feel worthy. Well, I'll keep asking, but I don't think I'm going to receive it. It's not asking, but knowing that you are worthy to receive your good, right? You're worthy to receive your good today. And it is not will, but willingness. I love that. Because you can't force this. How many of us have been pushing the river a little bit this week? Anybody? Pushing it? Have you been pushing it? And so often, you know, if you do that, it's exhausting, isn't it? Life is not meant to be a struggle, is it? It's meant to be a joy. It's meant to flow because it is inherently good. Yes. At the beginning, in the middle, and at the end, at the end. I got a booklet that I wrote years ago called Pocket Unity, and it's been changed into another book called Essential Unity. It's the same verbiage in it, and we have copies back in the bookstore, and it contains a number of affirmations, and I'm going to read some of these affirmations today, but if you'd like to get a copy of that book, we're not selling it today. It's free or on a love offering basis. If you want one, just go back to the bookstore and say, I'd like a copy of Pocket Unity if you want these affirmations, because it's hard to remember all 20 of them, and in fact, Wendy's going to use some of them now in the meditation in a moment. But before I read the affirmations, because I just want us to fill this sanctuary, fill our hearts, fill our minds with these beautiful affirmations. But if you want to write your own affirmation, here's four keys to do it, right? If you want to write your own power statement. First of all, make it short and succinct for two reasons. God just dislikes it when we go on and on and on and on. And number two, we can't remember it, you know. It's too long. Keep it short and succinct. Keep it to the point, because you'll probably use it. If it's too long, you're not going to use it. Second thing is, use the present tense, right? Because this is something you're claiming here and now, right now. We're not claiming it later. We're claiming it now. So use the present tense. Sometimes we can begin, like I said, with the powerful words, I am, because then we are claiming that we are one with God. I am a beautiful child of God. This is the absolute truth. And you can also tack the word now on the end, because again, this is not for the future, is it? This is now. And the thing about an affirmation is it's not a nice idea, okay? It is an absolute statement of truth. You may be going through aches and pains, and you may be receiving different conditions or reverses in your life. That is our humanness. But we are not just human, are we? We are spiritual beings. And when we are affirming the spiritual truth of our being. We are aligning with that. What happens when you do that? When you remember your spiritual component, the essence of you, you lift up your humanness. It no longer becomes a hindrance, right? You align. Now, the Father and I are one. It wasn't just Jesus that can claim this. This is for all of us, right? We can claim that alignment with the divine. So when you state this affirmation as an absolute statement of truth for your spiritual nature, then it becomes your full truth. It goes down into the dark parts and brings light. Yeah? So it's powerful in that way also. So let's read these 20 affirmations. I got so fired up at at 9:30. We went on and on for hours. So I've only got 3 seconds to finish these 20. So here we go, all right? And these are all from the Unity tradition. Some of them go back to Charles Fillmore and Myrtle back in maybe 100 years. Some are from the middle part of the 20th century. Some have just been loved over the years by Silent Unity. Mighty currents of God's healing love flow through me now, making me whole and free. I love that. Mighty currents of God's healing love. I know what to do, and I do it. Powerful. Very simple. I know what to do. I'm invoking that wisdom mind, that consciousness of the Christ. Here's my favorite. I am centered and poised in the Christ Spirit. Nothing can disturb the calm peace of my soul. That's a beautiful one. Here's another one I love. I am a radiating center of divine love, mighty to attract my good and to radiate good to others. Because, folks, when we affirm, we are not just affirming for our own humanness, our own little selves. We are affirming for all of us, because there's only one of us here. We are one in spirit, right? So I am a radiating center of divine love, attracting love into my life, but also then radiating it to others, right? That's the beauty of it. Because when you receive divine love, how much is there? Little bit? No, it's superabundance, right? Plenty to give. I am a spiritual being, you hear this almost every week, living in a spiritual universe governed by spiritual laws. I am spirit, perfect, holy, harmonious. That was Emily Cady's. I behold the Christ in you. Here's another great one. God supplies me with time enough, wisdom enough, strength enough, energy enough to do whatever is before me this day. If you're feeling harried, rushed, disturbed, you don't have enough time, affirm that one. God supplies me with time enough, wisdom enough, strength enough, energy enough to do whatever is before me this day. It's a miracle working power. Time and space and opportunity opens up simply by affirming that. My wife has applied it many times, and she knows. She's a testimony to this, right? When you've become harried and you've used that, things have flowed. Yeah, it's amazing. I am a rich child of a loving Father, Mother, God, and I dare to prosper now. I dare to prosper, right? I dare to claim my good. That's a good one. God is my help in every need. God is in charge. Try that one for a while. I am one, this is good before tests, exams, or any kind of, you know, if you have a job, what do they call those things that I hate? Every year you get one of them. Evaluation. So I affirm this before those horrible things. I am one with the all-knowing mind of Christ. I know, I remember, I understand, and I express myself perfectly. Good for interviews too, right? I go to meet my good, I expect the good, I accept the good, because good is in the beginning and the middle and the end. I love life, and life loves to express itself through me. That's a great one. I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. I am free, I am unlimited. That's a great song that Janet Manning wrote based on that. God works with me to will and to do whatsoever he wishes me to do, and he cannot fail. I am a partner with God, right? And he cannot fail. She cannot fail. And here's the last one. God is my instant, constant, and abundant supply. Instant. There is no time or space to spirit, right? Claim your good right now. Instant, constant. Because God doesn't give half measures, folks. When God speaks, when God gives, it's in fullness, right? By the way, when we went to Japan, when you go to the temple, first of all, you ring a bell to get God's attention, right? Because, you know, he's doing something and you got to get his attention. Okay, when you go to a Hindu temple, they ring bells for half an hour, you know, to get God's attention, you know. Now, I don't really think that it's God that needs to get his attention called, because God is already aware. So really, when we're ringing the bell, what is it that we're waking up? It's not God sleeping, you know, up in the attic of the temple. It's us, isn't it? We're waking up ourselves. Hello? Is anybody in there? You know, because we want to be present. God cannot be present to us, really, unless we're present to God. We have to be present. An affirmation is a powerful way to put yourself in that presence. It's the little ringer. You know, it's the bell that rings to remind us of who we are in truth. And when we apply it, and do it this week. Apply an affirmation, one of these affirmations. Go get the book after the service. Apply one of these affirmations faithfully for a week. Your life will change. Absolutely. Amen. So it is.
Thank you for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at www.unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We thank you for your contribution and affirm with you. Divine love flowing through us blesses and multiplies all that we give and all that we receive.